This is Ken McCarthy, and we're talking with Professor Tamar Frankel. And I'd like to give you an introduction to Professor Frankel so you understand a little bit of her background. Professor Frankel has been a professor at Boston University Law School since 1968. She's currently a faculty fellow of the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University. Professor Frankel has been almost prescient in identifying major trends in American business. For example, she wrote a very early and important piece on the subject of securitization. And she also wrote another important four-volume series on the management of money, which has to do with mutual funds. And, of course, both these two issues, securitizing assets and mutual funds, are common now, and I dare say they are probably multi-billion, if not multi-trillion dollar industries. But when Professor Frankel wrote about these things, they were just in their infancy. Professor Frankel, I think, has identified another very important trend in American business, and that's the subject of her latest book. It's published by Oxford University Press. It's called Trust and Honesty, America's Business Culture at a Crossroad. And we're going to be discussing some of the ideas in this important book during this call. So welcome, Tamar Frankel. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Let's get right into the subject of the book, which, for my reading, it sort of talks about something that really not enough people are talking about. It. Maybe we're thinking about it. Maybe we make half-formed comments about it, but very rarely have I seen anybody sit down and really work through the issue. And I think the issue is ethics in business, trust and honesty. And I guess let's start with this question. Is ethical behavior and ethical conduct in American business getting better? Is it getting worse? Is it staying the same? And does it matter? And those are the issues that we're going to be talking about on this call. And if it does matter, what can we do about it to improve the situation? So let's start out with that question of where are we on the trend line? Are we finding ourselves in a more and more ethical business environment or a lesser one, or are we sort of just trending along?
It is very hard to prove that we are less trustworthy or more trustworthy today. People would say that there is more transparency today, and therefore we simply see what we always had before, but we see it more, it's in the media more. But what we do see, and that's what I researched, is kind of a widespread dishonesty. For example, students cheat more on exams. That has been researched. People cheat more on their resumes when they apply for jobs. And of course, you open the newspapers and you see a lot of information about cooking the books in large corporations, in huge corporations, or manipulating stock options and so on. Then, of course, we have the old stuff of healthcare cheating, insurance cheating. But we also see some instances of scientists who, if I would say, cook their results in order to reach conclusions that they would like to have, and so on. Reporters, plagiarism. So you could say that what you see now is a bit more widespread, but I cannot prove that there is more than there was in the past. What I can prove, and that is what bothers me even more, is acceptance of dishonesty and of abuse of trust. That means people say, well, somewhat. Yes, people say, it is justified because that other person is going to cheat me, so I'll cheat him first. Mm-hmm. I'll defend myself. This scares me more because it creates a culture. It creates expectations that other people will cheat me and I will cheat other people. And that is a disaster for us.
So we're talking about not necessarily that there's more dishonesty, though I think when you look at companies like Enron and WorldCom and you just add up the dollars involved, it's possible that we are looking at maybe more widespread dishonesty. But what concerns you more is the attitude towards this dishonesty. Some people might listen to a call like this and say, well, gee, this is sort of a holier-than-thou topic. Why are you even bothering with it? Life isn't perfect, and to pay attention to these kinds of flaws is a negative or a waste of time. What would you say to somebody who has that attitude towards this discussion?
Okay, first of all, I don't preach. And we are all human. There will always be some con artists. There will always be people who are gullible, who will buy the Brooklyn Bridge. We always had them. Americans are, by and large, honest. My problem is that when they see people who are dishonest and gain so much, they say, am I stupid or something? Why don't I do the same thing? Once you do that, what happens is the following. We become then suspicious of each other. I become suspicious now over the internet. Why? Because I get emails that are trying to trap me into disclosing my social security and so on. And if I do that a lot, then I become very suspicious. If we become suspicious of each other, if we become mistrustful of each other, that costs our economy an enormous amount. We don't feel that at the beginning, but when you look at third world countries, what you see there is corruption on the one hand and mistrust on the other. We don't want to become like them. We are not yet there. But when I see just the beginning, I worry about it a great deal.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned in the book sort of an obvious point, but something I'd never thought of, that that when you are in an environment where you can trust, in a business environment that has standards, things operate very efficiently. You don't have to constantly check and double check and triple check everything.
That's right.
Whereas if you're in an environment where deception and dishonesty and fraud are the norm, everything will sort of grind to a halt, or at least become very expensive.
Or we will deal only with those we know. Who is that? Maybe family, maybe old friends, but I can't trust any stranger. Yes? Our economy is built on trusting strangers. And if that disappears, where will we end?
So there's a quote, and I'm sorry I can't remember the individual that made it. Perhaps you'll remember. He says, the tragedy is that we accept fraud as just another way of doing business. There are people that would say, well, gee, Ken, this really has always been with us. It's always going to be with us. The marketplace will take care of it. It will reward the honest, and it will punish the dishonest eventually. And let the marketplace take care of it. There's no need to focus on this.
Right. They may be right to a certain extent. First of all, it takes the market a long time to stop trusting. When you look what happened after Enron, for example, people took their money out. But when you measure now investors' trust, they still are in the market. But short term, they no longer say 20 years, I'm going to be in the market for 20 years. The change is now short term. In addition, they are looking for something else to escape, not only because there is lower returns, but also to escape altogether. But the other thing is investors will demand more. it will cost more for a corporation to raise money. Why? Because investors do factor in that I'm not trusting you. So in addition to other risks that I will have, which are business risks, which I will take, yes, because the world is not stable, okay? In addition to that, I have to find out, and I can't really find out whether you're trustworthy, you're a stranger. So the result is I'm going to demand more, and the cost of capital will be higher. That's the beginning of an economy that is losing.
And you're saying this, I want to point out to listeners, as somebody who was a fellow at the Security and Exchange Commission. So you have, and we talked earlier in the call about your experience in the infancy of securitization and the mutual fund industry. So this is not sort of an idle speculation. I just want to point that out. This is coming from somebody that's deeply involved in the securities industry. And if it becomes more expensive for companies to raise funds, that's going to raise the price of everything. It's also going to hamper innovation.
Correct.
And growth. Now, most of the listeners to this series are small business people.
Mm-hmm.
And they may say, well, that's fine, but, you know, I'm not really going to go to Wall Street to raise money. I'm sort of vaguely aware that there are dishonest people out there. But how does this affect me? How is this going to affect my ability to do business and make money?
Okay. If you do business on the Internet.
Yes, that's the majority of our listeners are heavily invested in marketing via the Internet.
Okay. You market on the Internet. You have now, not you personally, but the whole marketing industry has a problem. How do I establish my honesty? That costs to establish honesty, especially on the Internet. You'll have to give more guarantees. You'll have to do a lot of things. You'll have to convince your customers that you are you to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you had trusting people and if they had good experience, your cost will be lower because you won't have to prove all of that. And that is true every day. I don't know if I answered you.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think a lot of listeners are probably nodding right now. They have good products and good offers. And one of the things that they've got to deal with in their marketing is overcoming the skepticism, and I would say the growing skepticism of Internet offers.
I think
sometimes those of us in the industry of Internet marketing, for one reason or another, have sort of tuned out the fact that, unfortunately, our industry, the whole business of selling things via the Internet, actually has a bad reputation.
Right.
And it's a shame because, you know, I've been involved in this medium since the beginning of its commercialization, and I know hundreds, if not thousands, of highly ethical people that produce great products which they market on the Internet, and it pains me to realize that when we go out to a party or a cocktail hour or something and we tell people what they do, they immediately assume we're involved in some kind of nefarious activity.
This is one asking how are we going to overcome it, which is one of the questions you were asking, is really the hardest, especially on the Internet. Even a face that you have is not necessarily the right face or the true face.
Mm-hmm.
The voice is not the true voice. So how do you establish that? Is that a question that we are asking?
Well, I mean, what I always recommend to my students, and I mean, in some way, we almost have an advantage because considerate ethical behavior is so rare in Internet marketing that once customers and prospects experience it, they're quite shocked and quite delighted and relieved. Sometimes to find a source, but
right.
I guess I'm thinking not only what can Internet marketers do, but you know, business people in general, because let's talk about something that you talk about in the book. I think is very important. This idea of a business culture.
Mm-hmm.
What is a business culture? How is it formed? Why
okay.
is it so important? And then most important, perhaps, is can we change it? Can if we are heading down a bad slope, and there is greater acceptance
mm-hmm.
of unethical behavior, what can we do to turn that around? But let's start with the topic of culture.
Okay, there are many definitions of culture, but I define it very simply. For me, culture is habit, is a social habit. There are things that we assume without even thinking about it, that's the way people behave. We, for example, assume that if we are competitors, then if I am a competitor of X, I don't hire somebody to kill X. It's not my culture. But there are cultures in, like the mafia, in which that's the business. That's the way you do business. And therefore, it costs them more. They have to protect themselves, and they kill themselves. But notice something else, that if the top echelon of a mafia is completely eliminated, did the culture eliminate? No. The culture continues the way it was before. That's what I mean. People do not expect anything else. That's the way they expect it.
So culture is sort of the things that we do. I think you said this at one point when we were talking earlier. A culture is the things that we do without thinking. We just
that's
think,
right.
Well, that is the way it is, and that's how we do things.
That's the way we expect things to be. And that's the way, like driving a car. We don't think of exactly what we do as we drive the car because it's kind of our habit. Well, the same applies to our relationship to other people. And if our expectations change, then the culture changes once we stopped realizing that is what is happening. Once we assume that the other person is going to cheat me, then that will be the culture. I will cheat them, they will cheat me, and that's the way things are. And that is what culture is.
I've noticed also something that in your book, something that I've noticed is that every industry, every community, every field has leaders. And sometimes leaders set a bad example.
That's right. And especially if people think that they are successful, that's when people say, I'm stupid to behave this way. And I'd better behave the way the leader does. Now, if people work, for example, in a workplace, and in the workplace we mislead customers, then when 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, that's what we do. We look at how to mislead customers. Then we go home. We don't change immediately. 8 hours, 10 hours is a long time. Then we come home and we do the same thing. We can't change that fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what happens is that if in the workplace we have the honesty, then we come home and we maintain it too. Because we are not machines. We can't turn ourselves on and off as we talk.
Well, what I've noticed is that you know, every group, every industry has new people who come to the industry, and they're new, and they don't really know what the culture is, so they take their cues from the behavior of the people at the top. So if that behavior is not ethical, you know, for instance, we have a problem, I'd say, with plagiarism
mm-hmm.
in my industry. We have a problem with people falsifying their resumes
right.
in the industry. And we have a problem with people cleverly making offers that are very attractive, but when the person actually gets the product that's offered, it's not very worthwhile.
Correct.
Unfortunately, a lot of new people coming into internet marketing think that that's the way to be in internet marketing because some of the celebrities or gurus behave this way. They flaunt
right.
this behavior.
Well, yes and no. You see, leaders are leaders because we make them leaders.
Mm.
and we can unmake them leaders.
Mm-hmm.
We can vote for the president, or we can unvote for the president when the time comes. Mm-hmm. And in the market, it's even more so. Therefore, in the market, for example, reputation is very important. eBay is a good example. They have created a mechanism for creating reputation, and they worry about it, and it's not so easy, and they change it. But the point is that you can create reputation not necessarily by being the top. You can topple the top. You can tell them, get off. Now the question is, how do you organize? And in some respects, what we are doing now is organizing, because everybody can come, not because we sign on the dotted line, but because we talk among ourselves and we say, if all of us, most of us, do it differently, then we will become the leaders. Mm-hmm. And that's important to remember.
So this speaks to the issue of, can we change the culture? Can we turn things around? And I think we've established that there's nothing good about accepting unethical behavior. There's just no good can come of it. And unfortunately, we seem to have a trend where unethical behavior, people are shrugging and saying, "Well, that's just the way business is done." And you've been around a long time. I've been around a fair time. It's not the way business is done. This is a new tendency, this acceptance of this.
That's right. It is a new tendency, and it isn't yet a culture, because you and I and many others are talking about it. I came now from a conference with directors. We are talking about it. We had a session, you know what? We had a session on trust and ethics, yes?
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, two sessions in which we asked, and some of the issues are difficult. They are not kind of black and white, cheating and not cheating. That's clear. But sometimes it is just a wee bit misleading, not quite, and it is good to compete on that, so people are, the tendency is to do that. But think a little further, and you'll find that it's not a good thing, because in the long run, it will hurt all of us. Now, you may say, it doesn't hurt me. If it hurts the next generation, what do I care? If you have children, if you look at the next generation, we owe them just as we owe to our previous generation. So we ought to give something, or not to take away from the next generation, and not to create for them a culture that they couldn't live with as well as we do.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like step one is simply to be willing to look at the problem or the situation,
right,
and face it squarely, and discuss it as honestly as possible, rather than sweeping it under the rug or pretending that it's not a problem.
That's right. That's right. And then talking to people, and you asked me at the beginning, what would I say? People say to me, don't preach. Yes, we are not preaching. It hurts each and every one of us. And we have a stake in sometimes in our own business, sometimes in somebody else's business. When lawyers whom I have taught are found to have subverted the law just because they were paid more and then brought a disaster on themselves, on their customers, I feel not only bad, I feel responsible. One of the reasons I've written this book is because of that. I've seen what happened to people not personally to people whom I've taught, but to lawyers. I belong to that group. I don't want that to happen, and I don't want them to behave this way.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Great. So, you know, we're talking about a book, Trust and Honesty, America's Business Culture at a Crossroad. The author is Tamar Frankel, and Tamar is a professor at Boston University Law School, and is also currently at Harvard at their Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University. And is there any other main point that you'd like to leave us with today? I think we covered a lot of ground. I think we've established that whether or not unethical behavior and dishonesty is on the increase, clearly the acceptance, the cultural acceptance of that behavior has been on an uptrend. I think we've also established that this is just simply not in any way a good thing for the country or for the economy or for business or for entrepreneurship. And I think we've also established that we can turn things around. We don't have to just accept and flow down the stream. We can actually do something about it, and perhaps the way to start is what we're doing on this call, which is to look at the issue and face it and see what we can do about it, I guess, in our own conduct, in our own way of conducting ourselves, and perhaps making it an issue, again, rather than, I think a lot of people are afraid to talk about ethics.
Right.
Because, again, they're afraid they're going to be tarred as a as a preacher or as someone who's holier than thou.
Well, the test is when it costs me something and I'm still willing to say it, or when somebody comes and gives me a good offer, but it is tainted, and I'm willing to say, I'm not dealing with you. And it is not merely sacrificing. Maybe you are sacrificing the benefits this second. But what you will gain is, first of all, that person has one less customer. And the other, and if there are many like you, then he will have or she will have no customers. And the other thing is, long-term dealing with somebody like that is bound, and I can assure you, I have enough cases to show that, is bound to result in something bad. So it's not total sacrifice. It's not total altruism. You're not giving what is yours. You're just not agreeing to work with dishonest people. And you can, you have a good instinct. Each of us has a good instinct to feel when things are not just right.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that, I suggest that there is no, and if people say, hey, you are not holier than, you know, you're not a holy person, you say, look, this is what, the way I deal with it, take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other person will say, ah, wait a minute, I can't do it with this guy. I can't do it with this woman. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Well, great, great. I think that's a good place for us to start. The book, again, by Tamar Frankel, is Trust and Honesty, America's Business Culture at a Crossroad. I think Professor Frankel, you've hit on another important trend early on, just as you did with securitization, just as you did with mutual funds, just as you got involved in the formation of the pre-formation time of ICANN, which is the domain name registry. I think you provided a really important service by raising this issue and compelling us, all of us in business, to take a serious look at it. So, Tamar Frankel, thanks so much for spending the time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.